Explore 16,000 years of Virginia history. The Virginia Museum of History and Culture offers a variety of exhibitions, public programs, and special events for the whole family. Learn more and plan your visit at virginiahistory.org.
Welcome to Revolution Revisited, your crash course in the American Revolution. As the 250th anniversary of America's independence approaches, dive into the stories of Virginia's rebels, rule breakers, and rabble rousers who shaped a nation. This podcast is brought to you by the Virginia Museum of History and Culture and made possible by William and Karen Fralin.
Welcome back to Revolution Revisited. I'm your host, Maggie Creech. Season 2 will be headed your way soon, but we thought you might need a little refresher on what we covered last season. Luckily, we have the perfect letter in our collection to help remind you of some key points. On June 20th, 1774, a prominent Virginia politician and planter named Edmund Pendleton wrote to Joseph Chew, another Virginian now located in New York, and more on the two of them later, about some recent unrest in the colonies. Let's see what he has to say.
I last month received a letter from our friend Colonel Madison and accompanying letters to the governor and Colonel Washington to procure a warrant for the lands you, as heir to your brother Catesby, was entitled under the Royal Proclamation of 1763.
Anything in there sound familiar? The Royal Proclamation line of 1763 came at the end of the French and Indian War, and aimed to prevent colonial settlement west of the Appalachian Mountains, in hopes that the British crown could keep conflict with the area's indigenous tribes at a minimum. This didn't go over too well with the colonists, who had hoped that winning the French and Indian War would unlock new lands for expansion. Tensions over this policy, in combination with forthcoming taxation, laid the groundwork for resistance over the next decade.
Our assembly was sitting last month when we received an authentic copy of the Act of Parliament for stopping the trade and harbor of Boston, so we could not avoid considering as a common attack on American rights. For though it should be granted that the Bostonians did wrong in destroying the tea, yet the Parliament giving judgment and sending ships and troops, its attack upon constitutional rights, of which we could not remain idle spectators.
Speaking of taxes, the Tea Act was the final straw for Boston colonists, who gathered on December 16, 1773, and dumped 342 chests of tea into the harbor. The British Parliament was livid and quickly responded with the Boston Port Act, closing the harbor and ordering citizens of Boston to pay for the destroyed tea. In May 1774, the Virginia General Assembly declared that they would hold a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer in solidarity with Massachusetts, as they felt the Boston Port Act was unconstitutional.
Before we separated and signed an association declaring we considered it as a common cause of America, and we could enter into any measures which might be judged necessary, declared that if the principle of the Parliament's taxing America was persisted in, one would break of all commerce and intercourse with Great Britain.
Royal Governor Dunmore dissolved the House of Burgesses for this act of solidarity, viewing it as an overstep from the Virginia colonists. Rather than go home, the former Virginia Burgesses met at the Raleigh Tavern to make a plan for future gatherings and economic boycotts against Great Britain.
We are now told Lieutenant Dunmore has received a letter from General Gage that he expected everything to be settled in Boston in an amicable manner and to general satisfaction in very short time.
Not quite. By September 1774, 12 of the 13 colonies came together in Philadelphia for the First Continental Congress in order to discuss how they could work together to collectively advocate for their rights against the British government. It is important to remember that at this point, most colonists are still hopeful they will find a path to resolution, not revolution.
Our Indian War is now become inevitable. Indeed, is begun. I am very apprehensive some British subjects are in fault, who have cast a longing eye on the fine land north of the Ohio, and want a pretense for driving the Indians from it. However, the first aggression was on the part of the Indians who attacked almost killed one man and drove the others.
Remember that unpopular proclamation line of 1763? Over the past decade, colonists had been continuously pursuing the goal of expansion by renegotiating land rights between themselves and indigenous tribes in the Ohio River Valley, sometimes moving into territory that was contested by the Iroquois Confederacy, which resulted in violence between the two groups. In May 1774, Lord Dunmore mobilized Virginia's colonial militias to move towards the mouth of the Great Kanawha River in order to compel the Mingo and Shawnee to surrender territory by force. As Virginia colonists gathered in Williamsburg and Philadelphia to debate their approach to the British government throughout the fall of 74, Lord Dunmore was away, distracted by events on the frontier.
Thus stand our public affairs, which you'll say are not the most agreeable.
What an understatement. As the fall of 1774 turned into the spring of 1775, tensions between the American colonies and Great Britain only increased. At the Second Virginia Convention in March 1775, Patrick Henry's bold words of "Give me liberty or give me death" convinced Virginia politicians to authorize the formation of their own independent militia. Only a month later, the shot heard round the world at Lexington and Concord occurred almost simultaneously as Virginia's royal governor Dunmore seized gunpowder from the Williamsburg Powder Magazine and threatened to declare freedom to slaves and reduce the city of Williamsburg to ashes. Words had turned to action and revolutionary sentiment simmered amongst all Virginians. So who are Edmund Pendleton and Joseph Chew? You might recognize Pendleton's name scattered around episodes in season one, but Pendleton, despite his omnipresence in the politics of the American Revolution, tends to be one of the less remembered founding fathers. In his 50s, by the time of these events, Pendleton initially cautioned restraint, stating that this unhappy dispute was not an inclination for independency. By 1776, however, Pendleton supported the formation of the United States of America and took active roles in the 1776 Virginia Declaration of Rights and Virginia Ratifying Convention of 1788. Conversely, Joseph Chew chose to support the British during the Revolution, despite close friendships with patriots of the day, such as Pendleton, George Washington, and James Madison. This letter reveals to us not only reporting and opinions of current events during the spring and early summer of 1774, but also the fact that patriot and loyalist divisions on the path to the American Revolution were not always as clear-cut as it might seem in hindsight. Tune into season two of Revolution Revisited as we explore how these calls for liberty forced individuals to make their choices about which side to support, what happened when violence broke out in Virginia with the Battle of Great Bridge, and the role that Virginians played in writing one of the most famous documents of all time, the Declaration of Independence.
Thanks for listening to Revolution Revisited. The American Revolution was not an ending, but a beginning. The stories continue to unfold. Subscribe now and catch the next episode for another journey through history. This podcast is made possible by William and Karen Fralin and presented by the Virginia Museum of History and Culture.
Revolution Revisited is a production of the Virginia Museum of History and Culture. Our production staff includes Haley Finner, Maggie Creech, Nicole Martirana, and Tracy Schneider. Be sure to subscribe to get notified about upcoming episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Explore 16,000 years of Virginia history. The Virginia Museum of History and Culture offers a variety of exhibitions, public programs, and special events for the whole family. Learn more and plan your visit at virginiahistory.org.